none of us wants to be known as a gossip. And I think that a person who is a gossip probably does not think of himself as a gossip. He may think more of himself as a reporter who is sharing the interesting events of the day. And I know, too, that most of us have a genuine concern one for another, and we believe that in the sharing of information about someone, we are probably not going to do irreparable harm. The truth is, however, that information that we share, confidences that we share, are very liable to sprout wings and go far beyond the bounds that we intended for them. Over years of time, I have heard my name mentioned and in places that I would never have expected. And one of the interesting things that I have observed in the hearing of my name mentioned is the slant which is often given to those things which I am supposed to have said or done. But that is, in fact, the nature of gossip. Among the evils of our time, we can talk about the great moral issues of which we have spoken in weeks past. But we must not forget that among the evils of our time, among those things which can be so damaging to both relationships and situations, is the problem of gossiping. Tale-bearing, if you please. In the Bible that I use, the King James translation, the word gossip does not appear. But the word tale-bearer appears numerous times. The word tattler or whisperer is found from time to time. And all of these are expressions descriptive of what we in our modern language would call gossip. I'd like for us to spend a minute or two looking at several texts of Scripture and then finding in them the lessons that we need to find about this critical subject. And the first of the texts is in Leviticus chapter 19, at verse 16. And there, here's what the Bible says. Thou shalt not go up and down as a tale bearer among thy people. And in this particular chapter, as verses end, we often find these words, I am the Lord. So God says through Moses, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. I am God. And those last words give such great emphasis to the prohibition that is found earlier in the verse. If for no other reason, it is because I said so. And I'm reminded of those times when I would challenge my mother or dad, not many times, by the way. Why? And Dad would often say, because I said so, that's why. Well, I appreciated that. Wasn't all that happy about the answer, but I appreciated the fact that it was in the realm of my father's authority to be able to place upon me whatever scripture he was placing for the simple fact that he was my father. But in this case, it's God who says, thou shalt not go up and down among the people as a gossip. We turn then to the book of Proverbs, where we find this word tale-bearing or tale-bearer mentioned a number of times. One of those is found in the 11th chapter at verse 13. Here the Bible says, a tale-bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Notice the contrast. A tale-bearer, a gossip, a whisperer, reveals secrets. But a person who's faithful to confidences conceals those matters. In the 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs at verse 8, the Bible says, the wounds of a talebearer, or words of a talebearer, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. In chapter 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. In chapter 26 and at verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So, where there is no talebearer, where there is no gossip, where there is no whisperer, the strife ceases. And then again at verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. These are but a few of the passages which illustrate the problem of which we are speaking this morning. And some of the lessons we can learn from these passages are these. Gossip, tale-bearing, has no place among God's people. God knows the damage that it does. A tale-bearer, second lesson, is not careful with confidences. In fact, a gossip often is very pleased to share very juicy details of information. Lesson number three. The words of a gossip are invariably hurtful. They go down, and the texts twice say, into the innermost parts of the belly as wounds. They hurt. Lesson number four. We need to be very careful about the sharing of information with others. Not because we don't want to be open and transparent, but because we may not be altogether certain that this person with whom we are going to share this information, which may be of a very confidential nature, is going to be faithful in the concealing of the matter. He may be, in the words of Scripture, a meddler. That's number five. Gossip is at the root often of conflict and dissension. These are not just lessons from Scripture, folks. These are lessons observed from experience. But then if you go further with that last lesson that I mentioned, what you discover is that even when the gossip stops, often the damage that is done by it is irreparable. A reputation can be ruined by a talebearer, a gossip. And even when the gossip stops its gossiping, it still has wings or legs and continues to do its damage. Problems with gossip. Usually, gossip is filled with inaccuracies. Gossip is almost always offered out of context. Gossip has a way of growing with time. Gossip is often embellished by the teller. Gossip is rarely ever offered with good intentions. Most of the time, gossip is not about the teller himself. Isn't that interesting? Don't tell you about me, but I'll be glad to tell you about Ray Whitman over here. And gossip is unnecessary. It is absolutely unnecessary. Now, what else can we learn about this not very thoughtful use of the tongue? Well, from James, the Lord's brother, we can learn this. In James chapter 3 at verse 5, James says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boast of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." With the tongue, a great conflagration can be started. It hasn't been many days ago that just about every hour on the various news programs, you would hear about the big fires over in California. And every one of those fires, think about this, every one of those fires began as a little fire and quickly spread to something much, much larger. But what James says is that's the nature of the thing that can happen with the tongue. You can say something about someone to someone, and the first thing you know, you have set a fire that is raging and cannot be controlled. How great a matter this little fire kindles. Among friends, within families, in the workplace, at school, in the church. See, the problem with talebearing and gossiping is that wherever it happens, it's going to hurt. And it's going to grow. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and more sensational with the telling. I'm turning back into the book of Proverbs again, to chapter 16 at verse 28. Here's a passage that can tell us one of the sad effects of the inappropriate and improper use of our tongues as James has described it. At verse 28 of Proverbs 16, the Bible says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer, talebearer, gossip, meddler, a whisperer separated chief friends. That happens. The effect of gossip. That's part of this big fire that gets set by the sharing of these juicy little tidbits of information among people who are, oh, we're just reporters. No. Just gossips. So what's the solution? Well, James, in chapter 1, perhaps not thinking in terms specifically of the problem of gossip, but gives anyway what needs to be considered part of the solution. For he says this, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." Slow to speak. And those words is the solution to the setting of a fire with our tongues. Then what can we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 12, I read these words in verses 36 and 37. "But I say unto you that every idle word of men that they shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." The first thing that I learned from our Lord Jesus Christ is that I'm going to be accountable for all of the words that have come out of my mouth. Isn't that a scary thought? Now stop and think back about your last telephone conversation with a friend. You know, in this passage in Leviticus, at chapter 19, verse 16, I read at the beginning, "Thou shalt not go up and down among the people." Well, I don't do that, but I get on the telephone now. You know, if we'd had telephones and telegraphs and those kinds of things and all these other means of communication back in the day of Moses, they would have been included. But would they necessarily have to be included for what is said there? "You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among the people." You're going to have to give an account for the words that come out of your mouth. What did you say in your last conversation with your last person you talked to, your last friend, whom you perhaps visited with for an hour or so on the telephone? How many other people's names were mentioned in the course of that conversation? Now, perhaps some of them innocently and correctly and properly so, but how many of them did you know about this? Have you heard? Those are the kinds of expressions that signal gossip. Jesus says right here, we're going to account for every idle word that's come out of our mouths. And then look at verse 35. "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Let me ask you something, folks. If you are engaged in gossiping, what is the condition of your heart, spiritually speaking? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. That's not gossip. And the Lord is talking about here the use of the tongue, the use of mouth. He's not talking about all those other possibilities. The context has to do with our communication, our conversation. How's your heart? Well, last week we talked about the subject of the tongue as it relates to profanity and such things, and we recognized in chapter 15 of the book of Matthew the same problem, that it's a heart problem, But here, we're talking about the idle words that come out of them, not profanity. Tale-bearing, gossiping, tattling. When I was growing up in a family of three children, I hated a tattletale. And my sister was the worst one of all. I don't know why it was. She thought she had to inform my mother and daddy of every silly thing that I did, but she did. And I got a spanking. But my sister didn't learn very well because she always got a spanking for tattling. And that didn't take. Because the next time I'd try to set fire to the house. In she'd go. And I'd get a spanking. And she'd get a spanking. I don't like tattlers. Tattlers are gossips. Gossips are tattlers. How's your heart? You know, during World War II, which I only remember vaguely, Clovis remembers it very well. There was a saying that I remember very well, and Clovis, you'll remember this too, I know. Jess won't, because Jess denies that he's as old as we are. Loose lips sink ships. How about that with reference to reputations? With reference to other people and the things that are going on in their lives, of which we may know something, but which are absolutely none of our business. Loose lips sink ships. In Proverbs 21, verse 23, I love this passage. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And the word keep there is from the word that has to do with setting a guard at. So that person who guards his mouth and his tongue, watching carefully what is permitted to come out of it, keeps his soul from troubles. That was what this loose lips sink ships thing was all about. And then what about the Apostle Paul? Does he have anything to say about this? Well, over in 1 Timothy, at chapter 5, and there at verse 13, I'm going to read the two previous verses because we need to get the context. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they've cast off their first faith. And, that's the connecting word here, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, or telephone conversation to telephone conversation, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Tattlers. And if you look at the context, there's just absolutely no question but that the Apostle Paul is talking about tale-bearing or gossip. People that are idle. I just need to share this juicy little tidbit with Sister Susie. So on the phone we get. Or we're going to, you know, these days it's a text message. I'm not sure how that works. I don't even know how to do it, but I know people do it a lot. We've got all these little things going for us, and we can share all of this information, a great deal of which doesn't need to be shared, because it's just tattling. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but our busybodies. The word busybody means a meddler. And it's clear that when the apostle is talking about these people who wander from house to house, paddling, speaking things they ought not speak, are engaged in, I want to take care of somebody else's business. I want to share with you somebody else's business. When it is not any of my business at all. What can we do about it? Well, there are two ways to come at this. First, we need to accept and understand that we cannot control what other people say. Just can't do it. People are going to say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it, to whomever they please to say it, about whatever it is they want to say. And I can't stop it. But if we are Christians and we've got this problem, there is something we can do about it. I want you to go back with me to chapter 10 of the book of Proverbs, verse 19. What can we do about gossiping, tale-bearing, if we have the problem? In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. It's absolutely true that the more we talk, the more opportunity there is in our talking for sin. So what's the solution? It's so simple. Don't talk so much. Refrain your lips from talking. In chapter 17 of Proverbs, at verses 27 and 28, the writer says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. One of the things that I so very much appreciate about my dear wife is that she is a woman of few words. That permits me to do all the talking. But I've noticed that Joyce, often when I would think, you know, you have an opportunity to say something right here, honey, go ahead. Not a word. But when she says something, it's worth listening to. She's wise. Her daddy was this way. It took me forever to get accustomed to the fact that Foy Thomas just didn't talk a lot. But when he said something, you'd better be listening because there might be some, well, you know, there could be a snake next to you. Or you might be fixing to do something that's going to hurt you. So when he spoke, you listened to it. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. That's what we can do about our problem if we have the problem. Shut your lips. And people will appreciate you more. Now, in a practical way, there are several things we could say. For example, we must never become engaged in the sharing of information that is not ours to share. It's not our privilege to share it. We must never become engaged in a conversation that is gossip-oriented. Now, the problem is that we've had this thing in our minds of really appreciating what is gossip. Is this just something that we need to hear? Is it something we need to share among ourselves because we care about people? And occasionally that's the case. But I have a strong suspicion that more often than not, it's just gossip. We need not to be engaged in it. We need to be very careful that we do not become busybodies in other people's business. Meddlers, if you please. And some people meddle by direct means. Others do it by gossip. Whatever the means, it's inappropriate. It's wrong. It's that which God, through Moses, so many years ago said, can't do this among my people. It's inappropriate. It's wrong. And it's wrong because I said so. And then we need to be sure always, in a practical sense, that everything we say is wholesome and good. Or in the words of the writer in Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Let me ask you something. Is your speech something that can always be considered to be a tree of life? Or is it a tree that bears poisonous fruit? How many people have been injured by gossip? How many situations have been made more serious and complicated because of gossip? And the answer is far too many. Are we, any of us here this morning, gossips, tale bearers, whisperers, tattlers, whose words have the potential of great harm and perhaps have even separated chief friends? Are any of us guilty? The question needs to be answered. And it needs to be answered with a view to correction. I love the song we're about to sing. Softly and tenderly. All the years that I've led singing, this has been one of the invitation songs that I have both enjoyed singing and enjoyed leading. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And I wonder this morning as we sing the song, if that soft and tender calling of our Lord Jesus Christ, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wonder. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I wonder. Softly and tenderly he calls. Is there anyone here this morning who needs to be listening as he calls softly and tenderly? Listening for a response from us. Because perhaps as Christian people we've not been as careful with our tongues as we should have been. We've injured, we've hurt, and perhaps not knowing it, yet have indeed shared things innocently, but they were confidences nevertheless. And they've hurt. Is there anyone here, child of God, a Christian, in whose life other sins and neglect have crept? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for correction in your life and mine. You need to repent of that sin. I beg and plead that you do it. If you need the prayers of brothers and sisters on your behalf, come as we sing and let us know that. We'll be glad to be praying with you. Maybe there are folks in the assembly who are people not baptized into Christ. you've been thinking about the need to do that, being baptized to receive the cleansing of all of your sins, including gossip. But you've never done it. You should. You must. Because at the judgment, not only are we going to be judged by the words of our mouths, we're going to be judged by the deeds of our lives, those we have done and not done. And if you've not been baptized into Christ, my dear friend, you're not in Christ this morning. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling you. Come and make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism today. Softly and tenderly calls. Maybe there are Christians in the assembly who are faithful folks from other places. You'd like to be part of this congregation of God's people. We need to know that. So you can be a part of this wonderful fellowship, people working under the oversight of the good elders of this church. Softly and tenderly He calls. And if you need to come, do it now as we stand together and as we sing.